Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Every Monday night, to set the tone for the week ahead here on Nights, we are joined by a guest who shares a whakatauki, a Māori proverb that has some significance to them. And tonight, we are joined by Dr. Herene Carr. Dr. Carr is an Anglican priest ministering in South Auckland. He is also the manukura, or principal, at St. John's Theological College. And he joins me now. Tēnā koe to you.
Tēnā koe, Emil.
Before we get to the whakatauki, I thought we should chat a bit about you. How did you come to be an Anglican priest in the first place?
There are two possible paths. I was either called by God, and or I lack imagination, because my grandfather was a priest and my father. For public purposes, let's go with the former, if that's okay.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you could also, you know, I sang in an Anglican church for many years as a child, and the hymns and the music were a big draw for me in those days.
Oh, absolutely. The theology is really the thing for me, our practice, our commitment to social justice. It's a great way to transform society, plus the depth of our spirituality. You know, I won't go into the theology of it, but there's so much that appeals to me, speaks to my soul, and to my whānau soul as well.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm interested to hear a bit about that, the relationship to you between Te Ao Māori and the Anglican faith from your point of view.
Sure. It's complicated. It's long. It's 200 years long now. We often get fed the one-liners and the memes about colonization, and a simplistic version of that. Look, there is so much truth to that, and I'm never going to paper over that. Mm. And yet my tipuna, my ancestors, they had agency, particularly early on, and they made some choices. When they discovered these new stories, this new way of being, they thought that spoke to us. And we were people of deep theological wānanga. Mm. We were able to make our choices. So while I understand the challenges involved in being Anglican and Māori and the paradox, I also understand that it's a deep part of who we are now and chose to be.
In your work, you have travelled abroad in Indigenous spaces in the Pacific and beyond. What do you do?
That's an excellent question. You mean beyond the junket?
Yeah.
So our encounter with Christianity and our engagement with it, and both it being used on us as a tool of colonization, but also, and this is the bit that's undersold, is it was our key tool to deal with colonization. Mm. And this story was repeated across the globe amongst Indigenous peoples. In the 19th century, the long 19th century, Christianity, the Bible, provided the basis for most large resistance movements against colonization. Mm. And so we have this history in common. What we do together is we find collective strength in our identity. We share our strengths. We share our stories. We also learn new ways to deal with the context we find ourselves in. It's the most empowering of relationships, sharing our pain as Indigenous peoples, but also our joy as Indigenous peoples, and especially within our Christian faith context.
Now, you've recently, as I mentioned in the intro, taken up the post of manukura at St. John's Theological College. What does that role involve?
Well, I'm discovering that in my second week in. I think it's being all powerful, but people might disagree with me. and also, my father worked here, so it's a lot of memories. But really, it's about this as a place of learning, of scholarship, of understanding, furthering that wānanga about what it means to be Anglican, Christian in the 21st century, what our contribution needs to be to some of the planet's greatest challenges, from climate to racism to poverty, and what our faith has to say about that deeply. That is part of the work here, to work with the amazing students who come here and to bring out those gifts and send them back out to the community as people who can transform to bring justice to our communities, who are deeply in need of justice, particularly in the years ahead of us now. Society.
Is it a tricky task in this day and age, trying to bring people in and get people interested in being part of, you know, the Anglican Church, at a time when, I suppose broader interest. Maybe I was going to say when society is becoming more secular, but maybe that's a bit oversimplified. Maybe when at a time when fewer people are devoting their lives to organized religion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, the tide is going out on the form of Christendom that we knew, particularly on the imperial Christendom, that took so much for granted, and settler societies in particular. And as our history becomes more well-known, more well-understood again, as we discussed earlier, that challenge of story and of place is a large barrier for a lot of people. And yet, people still come. And we think we've got a compelling contribution to make alongside the rest of society. We think it's a unique contribution. And we think as people come to understand it and to share it, it is very appealing to a lot of people, not to everybody for sure. And yet, it brings its challenges in the 21st century Aotearoa, not just for the politics of it, but it goes right up against consumerism, individualism, all the things that have been forced down our throats, particularly in recent decades. Sacrifice, these things are not popular. So, yeah, we're pushing up against all those historical forces.
Now, given your theological education, I imagine you know your way around a proverb. It must have been a bit tough to settle on a whakatauki for today.
It was. I decided not to go with scripture, which is, you know, essentially lots and lots of whakatauki.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus spoke, really, in whakatauki. Eh? That was his people's way of speaking, the quite same kind of mindset.
So what have you gone for? Would you mind giving us your whakatauki and then maybe translating what it would literally mean in Te Reo Pākehā?
Sure. So the whakatauki is tā te tamariki, tāna mahi, wā wāhi tahā. So it is of the child that is his work to break the calabash. So it's the job of the child to break the calabash.
Okay. So that's the te reo. Tā te tamariki, tāna mahi, wā wāhi tahā. It's the job of the children to smash the calabash. So that's what it literally means. But what does it mean?
Yes. So my father utilizes whakatauki as an expression of his faith, I'd put it, when in the early 2000s he began a movement along with other iwi leaders around reducing violence or eliminating violence within our whānau. This whakatauki is about, it speaks to the way we have been trained to raise our children. We traditionally didn't use casual violence in our child rearing. Yes, we practiced infanticide. We could be as cruel as any other culture or society has ever been, as many are. But we didn't practice casual violence in our parenting. We didn't smack children, hit children. That sort of discipline wasn't common. And this is attested to by many sources of evidence. Instead, we reveled in children pushing the boundaries. We wanted them to see the full expression of their spiritual, cultural, of themselves. So when they broke something, that wasn't an action to be punished. That was an action to be celebrated because they're finding the edges of their lives, of their reality. It spoke to what we'd become, that when a child broke something, you hit them, because that was the form of discipline that had been inculcated into us through colonization. And it was a matter of really recovering our traditional practices and understandings. And this is what whakatauki are genius at. They just bring a storehouse of knowledge. We're just seeing the front door here into the storehouse. And so saying to whānau, there's another way to parent. And the results that he saw, that we saw, that still seeing through Tupuna Parenting, the program, is incredible. So, yeah, children are there to push the boundaries, and we should celebrate that, not silence that, particularly through fear and violence.
It's a beautiful whakatauki. Hirini Kā, thanks so much for coming on and sharing that with us today. It's been great chatting to you.
Tēnā koe, Mio.
And that was Dr. Hirini Kā, an Anglican priest who ministers in South Auckland and also the manukura, or principal, at St. John's Theological College.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.